And good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. I do hope you are warm, you are cozy, and you find yourself in the comfort of none other, your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And as we're dawning upon or starting off with tonight's session of the Business and Economic Zone, well, I've got an invigorating discussion point for us for tonight, guys. It has to be invigorating because, in essence, that is what Eagle FM is all about, keeping the conversation going. Now, here for tonight's session, we're going to be talking about something a little bit more based upon the continent's potential, that being the African continent that we find ourselves on, as well as also looking ahead and what others think the potential holds or the future holds for our continent. Now, I have to stress about the continent because ultimately this also factors into the various Pan-African movements. For example, the first one being that of the Africa Free Trade Area. The AFTA or AFCTA agreement, which we, Namibia, form part of. Now, ultimately, this major discussion, this one discussion, is a component in that Pan-African or that cross-continental or continental move or continental drive with regards to Pan-Africanism in its essence. Now, I'm not going to go into, the theories or the philosophy behind Pan-Africanism. It's just, got to look at the way we have this unified, synergized, continental movement in terms of benefiting from the resources, benefiting from the derived industries and resources generated from said benefits of the first phase of benefits, and then ultimately how to take the continent forward. Whether we find ourselves like we are in the country of Namibia, or whether it's within the bloc, SADC, or in the greater continental approach. Now, here's the thing, guys: the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development released a report, and the report is on their website, on the continent's dynamic cities for 2022. Now, they call it dynamic because it is based upon various factors with regards to the population of the continent that is factoring or that is providing said dynamism. Now, we take a look at this report in snippets. I say snippets because it's ultimately talking about the urbanization aspect and the meaning behind what they are looking at. So, as we start off, guys, I'm going to give you a little bit of an anecdote. Take a casing point here of Namibia. And we take a casing point of Namibia's only city, that being the capital city, Windhoek. If you had to compare Windhoek, and this is just in relation to just a discussion point I mentioned last week, and I had it in the back, of my head, even in last week, in terms of taking, we need to look at the urbanization aspect. Now, for this report, this OECD report, even though, it is slightly, I had to look at it because there's a lot of text that we have to look through and ultimately, it is based upon the economic power of Africa's cities. That's how they titled it in one sense. Said economic power is also spread over specific countries that the OECD looked at. I also have to disclose that. So these are the disclaimers we have to look at first. They titled it the economic power of Africa's cities. And ultimately also, they only showcased specific areas within it. But understand, guys, this is somewhat, if you read into the language of the report, it somewhat is being cascaded all across the continent, even though they were technically just looking at a handful of zones on the continent. I'm giving you that disclosures so that you know what the scale of the picture is, coming from an international organization that's supposed to look at everything, ultimately only deciding where they're going to look at. Now, since we've already, isolated, disclosed, as well as also understood and accepted that, these are the parameters that they decided to work within. And that's the OECD, not us, not me, not Dwight Links, the OECD. And we've got to understand also, in the same vein, what it actually translates towards looking ahead. Now, here's the thing, guys. Much of economics is also looking at urbanization, you know, the movement of people, the concentration of skills, the concentration of labor, the concentration of resources, the concentration of, you know, various economic power hubs, the concentration of various economic production hubs, the concentration of various economic consumption hubs, the concentration of various economic extractive hubs. Now, my anecdote before the disclosures was, let's take a look at Namibia. Namibia has one city. Yes, no matter how you want to stress it, you can't even come close, even if you decide to throw Ondangwa, Ongodiva, and Oshikati together, they will still not come close to the size of Windhoek. Second also is because they've all decided to be their own municipalities and, you know, local authorities. So ultimately, you can't think of them as one. Even if you try to go to the coast and you want to throw Swakopmund and Walvis Bay together, still, you won't last because they are two different jurisdictions, meaning they are two different local authorities. Ultimately also, they do not pose as much a attractiveness as what Windhoek does. Now, what I'm getting at actually is taking a look at sort of like the establishment, the growth, the rate of urbanization for Windhoek. Now, Windhoek is the only city in the country. The rest are towns. Second on that is also most of, and I'm now talking about the bare bones basics, the characteristics basically.
Kukuruka na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na umpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke, kisigemeke. Ramangako, uwerao HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruka na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kukuruka na yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro yeyo wamba zuma uko uko, ndimo guwana kuma pukuru gumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatuwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from a quick break, and just where I left off, is that we've got to look at the characteristics of Windhoek in comparison with all the other urban centers or urban settlements in the country. Firstly, first and foremost, it's not the oldest one, but ultimately it is the largest one, because it is estimated that Windhoek has at least 400 to 450,000 inhabitants alone. Windhoek has most, if you look at the concentration, for example, of all executive decision-making, even coming from corporates all the way to government, all of that is based and headquartered in Windhoek. Not like the same historical point that once existed in South Africa, where under certain parts of South Africa's history, that's before the 1994 official independence, where the capital of or the capital city, or actually the economic the economic power and production ability of South Africa was for a part moved from Cape Town to Bloemfontein. So that meant that for some part, Bloemfontein was also to feature some sort of economic hub. And if you even just have to look at our southern neighbor itself, they have various economic hubs for each of their regions. For each of their provinces, sorry. They don't have regions, they have provinces. I.e. Cape Town is the head administrative, city or urban center for the Western Cape. For the North Cape, it is Kimberley. For the Free State of its Bloemfontein, the list goes on in terms of the various economic centers that they have. So each item or each province in that setting has its own economic center with its own set of somewhat proxy or reflective executive sort of like headquarters or main offices or main functions. One of the parts and aspects of decentralization, but we're not on decentralization, we're on urbanization and the dynamism that African cities pose for the continent's future going ahead economically. Now, ultimately, guys, in our discussion for tonight, and our discussion is going to be a big one because it won't be able to be contained in tonight's discussion or session alone. Now, ultimately, Fintu has most of the economic capability. Now, if you were to compare Windhoek with the country's performance, Windhoek alone would be most probably the only flag flying high in terms of economic activity. For the rest of the country, it would most naturally look very dire, spreading out the economic performance. In as far, you can also factor in Walvis Bay and Swakopmund. However, Swakopmund and Henties Bay, for that matter, who are predominantly dependent upon tourist economy, or the tourist economy, for that matter, both of them would have been underperforming extensively for the past 2 years. You then have to look at various activities that are spread out across the regions in the country as well. Now, you have to understand, the Kommas region is probably competing in terms of being the smallest region with that of the Zambezi region. So the Zambezi region can potentially be slightly bigger or slightly smaller than the Kommas region in terms of surface area. However, the economic activity as well as also the economic domination and dominance that the Kommas region enjoys and owns is unprecedented throughout the rest of the country. Even if you had to look at where most of the mining activities potentially distributed or placed or centered in the rest of the country, that would still not come close to the production capability that the Kommas region and the capital city have. Now, we've got to understand also, guys, the capital city also enjoys the access of the Hosea Kutako International Airport, whereas the Erongo region enjoys the Walvis Bay port, which is seen as an industrial point because it does generate revenue for the country. It does, in a form. That's why the Ports Authority, the NAM Ports, exists, because it's there to operate it and also to generate certain levies and taxes and tariffs that they charge, you know, for goods moving in and out, people moving in and out, facilities and functions taking place there at this function or at the structure that they manage and administrate. Now, ultimately, guys, the economic activity that the Kommas region alone has is the dominant factor in terms of what makes this region still the alpha and omega region in the country. Yes, guys, we have to acknowledge that. It also is the region that houses the three tertiary institutions, the headquarters and the main campuses of these institutions. If you had to take a picture with regards to what the scenario looks like in our southern neighbor of South Africa, even if you just had to go to Zambia or even to Zimbabwe, where you've got potentially universities or colleges spread out across the country so that each urban center can benefit from this said academic or tertiary involvement or investment in that sense. Ultimately, I'm still looking at the way ahead. There is one or two tertiary institutions. I speak under correction because the one is private. Two technically are privately owned. But the one is, I think, in operation already. That being the Lim Kho Kwing Institute. But it's still, you know, in terms of media reports, whether they're going to be based in the Chuzanjupa region, which is Okahania, because most of it had centered upon them operating from there. And ultimately, also, you've got to factor in another one to come from one of the private school institutions here in the capital, which is looking to have its own tertiary institute. Now, compared to what South Africa has done, each province of South Africa has its own major university. The Western Cape, as well as also the Gauteng province, are the two, and also the province where Pretoria is based in. I can't use its, you know, its pre-1994 independence name, which was North Transvaal, but that province of Pretoria, where Pretoria is based in, is home also, technically, you can count, Johannesburg and Pretoria as two major urban centers being very close to each other. And they are cities. And each one of them carry their own academic heavyweight universities on the continent. So that Pretoria has got the University of Pretoria. Johannesburg has Witwatersrand, as well as also UJ, which was the old Rand Afrikaanse university. And ultimately, they also still have, there's another institute there somewhere in between. UNISA is another one. UNISA, which is the continent's largest, they call it academic correspondence university, because it's the largest network in terms of how many students it can service and provide quality tertiary education to. Western Cape, obviously, they've got the UCT, they've got CPUT, they've got Stellenbosch, and they do boast the oldest universities also in Southern Africa, for that matter. So you see what I'm getting at in terms of the dynamism, in terms of the economic impact, as well as also the research and development position that a city can provide. Now, I said we're not even on the decentralization discussion yet. We're not even there. We are not even there. But bringing you from the very long distance that I took you on back to the OECD is that the OECD has highlighted the following discussion point. Now, urbanization is one of the most profound transformations that the continent is undergoing. It is. Well, according to the OECD, they are saying will undergo, but it is undergoing it already. Since 1990, a number of cities on the continent have doubled from 3,300 cities on the continent to 7,600. Now, this already indicates to you there are migration movements and patterns taking place, right? And that their cumulative population has increased by 500 million people. Now, Africa's cities are the most rapidly growing cities in the world, and also that they are the youngest and that they are the ones changing the fastest. So we just have to take a look once again here in the Namibian sense. This obviously not just pointing towards the division of the greater Kavango region into two Kavango regions, that being east and west, ultimately also to allow the town of Kurenkuru to have its own administrative powers, and then ultimately also providing Rundu as much, you know, ability to enact its administrative, you know, impact and effect in the rest of the Kavango East. However, that also transpired in the very small village in the Kavango East, known as the Vundu, becoming or escalated into a town. I'm also speaking under correction because I'm still thinking about 2016 information when I traveled through the Kavango East, for that matter, because the Vundu was at that stage in 2010 when I went to Vic Falls in Zambia. They were still almost like a bus stop. So now ultimately the Vundu itself has been properly zoned and properly recognized to become a village council at that stage. I do not know if they've been escalated again into town council level, but this does point to you the aspect of, you know, some form of urbanization taking place, providing some form of collecting taxes and as well as also providing services. You've got to remember, guys, local authorities are also there to collect taxes, revenue, which is the revenues aspect, and also provide further services to the local communities. Now, that's just to give you a setting, because urbanization is the broader sense that you've got to anticipate within what an urban settlement is. And this does speak true because we ourselves as a country, we've enacted certain strategies in order to facilitate said urbanization impact. Now, Africa's cities, we've got to understand, is that their impact on the continent's economic, social, and political landscape in the coming decades is likely to be very profound. It's because various international institutions are already looking to our continent for having the workforce for the future, for being the latest frontier in terms of consumerism. Well, the consumerism aspect is already there, or the consumption aspect is already there. But also that the continent, us, you, me, the children also to come for tomorrow and for the years down the line, are supposed to carry, are supposed to be the flag bearers in terms of taking, the global economy to new heights. That's what the economists internationally are anticipating and forecasting for the continent. Because ultimately, if you see something like the rate of urbanization taking place, it does point towards clustering of economic power. And I'm not talking about power in the sense of, like there's these someone just accumulating economic wealth and power in a sense. No, I'm talking about the role that an urban setting or an urban settlement can play in the future when they structure themselves in the form, let's for example say hypothetically Tivundu now gets scaled up to a larger town or town setting or town level, and from there on they are able, because they see there are people moving to the urban village limits, wherein people are actively buying property, building houses, service stations get opened up, investment takes place in the form of shops being relocated there or being built or placed there. A local economy is starting to thrive on its own there. Remember, it's not just a local economy in terms of just for Rundu or just for the greater Kavango East, but that each urban setting itself has its own thriving economic activity. And ultimately, people then start living longer. There are schools there's a primary school, there's a high school, there's kindergartens or what they call these things, creches even, and there's this continued economic activity taking place. Now,
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, coming back from the abrupt and very quick break, is that when you see that kind of economic activity occurring in one urban settlement, that urban settlement or that urban area has its own economic power. Its own economic power. Even though it's smaller than the administrative capital of the region or of the province or of the state or of the... I'm not talking about state in the sense of like a country. State in the sense of like Nigeria has states. South Africa has provinces, Namibia has regions. In that sense, you see, okay, you know, this is the economic characteristic of said geographic area in the country. Now, right there alone, it then escalates, you know, you then see various other activities coming about. Potentially the schools then start applying and asking, you know, why are there no satellite campuses for universities that are based in Windhoek to be there as well. And ultimately, you then see this trend also occurring in terms of, you know, how investment flows throughout the country, and it's not just centered in one spot continuously. Now, urbanization therefore presents immense opportunities to accelerate progress towards the 2030 and the 2063 development agendas for promoting continental integration in the context of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Now, it's one of those aspects with regards to my Pan-Africanism introduction that I started off in the beginning of today's show. It's because it's looking ahead, anticipating what the scenario would be by 2030, anticipating what the scenario would be by 2063. And ultimately, this is the bread and the butter issues that the economists and various policymakers feed off. They live off it, because this is the frontier, the economic frontier for tomorrow. Now, the economic frontier for tomorrow, guys, is only based upon how strong, how good, and how attractive a scenario. I'm talking about a scenario. I'm talking about the overall picture of a country looks like to investors. And I'm linking this in even into the press conference that our head of state, President Hage Geingob, had on, I think it's Monday, the one where I also attended the reporting back, the feedback from Davos. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The president made a very important comment. He himself picked up on it. Remember this. That people were now looking to countries like Namibia because we are giving solutions on the global platform. Now, I've got to warn you as well, guys. Firstly, it's good because that means we're being listened to. But secondly, also, that means a lot of people are looking at us. We're not talking about five people. You know, this is like high school where you were in school. Where, you know, the cool children in the class or in the school are now looking at you, going like, let's hear what he has to say. Probably he's going to do something cool today, or he's going to lead us to a better, you know, to a better thought process or better solution going ahead. Now we've got to tread lightly. We've got to tread carefully, and we've got to handle this attention as if we are walking on eggshells. I'm saying this. Primarily because there is a lot of money out there, a lot of money that wants to buy in to everything. Now, the president's comment was backed up by the finance minister's contribution, that being from Minister Ipumbushimi, where he himself also noted. And that was the question that Minister Shimi was actually answering towards the other journalist that asked him the question in terms of like the green bonds. Now, green bonds, like what Kanjengo would have educated many sessions here on the Business Economic Zone, is an instrument. It's an instrument by which countries, or a bond technically, is an instrument by which countries can generate cash flow for the country. It is a debt. It is some sort of a loan, yes, but it's an instrument to make money from, to garner money in, to make a loan from, or to institute a loan or initiate a loan. Now, ultimately, the minister also added, and that's adding into the president's observation in terms of the attention that the continent is getting and the attention that Namibia is getting, is that there are now people who represents said money listening to certain voices coming out of the continent. Some said voices being, firstly, us. We have to talk about us. It's just us. We have to be like that. Self-centered, of course. And that notion then propels or feeds into this narrative that the Organization for Economic Cooperation is talking about, the OECD. Now, understand, guys. Understand. The ideal picture in terms of urbanization in a country is if you have something like similar to like South Africa, or similar to what the US even have, or even Brazil. I'm mentioning these three countries because if you think about it, just on paper, if you had to look at the United States with its 51 states, if you had to look at Brazil, they are also like the provincial or local or regional authorities are also based upon states. And you had to look at South Africa. South Africa is the one with the best picture because the US is too big. 51 states is a lot. So imagine you've got 51 local authorities there, or regional authorities, or state authorities, as they would call it. The same also for Brazil, because Brazil is bigger than South Africa. But for South Africa, they've got, six or seven provinces? So they've got six or seven provincial authorities. And those provincial authorities are each based in an economic center or an economic hub. As I shared with you just now, the Western Cape has got Cape Town. The Eastern Cape has got Port Elizabeth, or formerly known as Port Elizabeth, now known as Kuperga. I just need to get that name correct. KwaZulu-Natal has Durban. Or it's Pietermaritzburg. Sorry, it's Pietermaritzburg, not Durban. It's Pietermaritzburg. Because Pietermaritzburg and Durban is the similar scenario with what's the guy's name? Johannesburg and Pretoria. They are in such close proximity to each other, so it's easy to ignore the other. Because Durban is considered to be the economic hub of KZN. Pietermaritzburg, even though the High Court for Pietermaritzburg, for KZN, is based in Pietermaritzburg, because that is where Jacob Zuma was convicted for the contempt of court charge that he faced last year before the civil unrest broke out. That is the administrative, sort of like capital of the province. Ultimately, everyone, and I know, even I thought Durban was the major one because we looked at the economic value of Durban, and Durban is the bigger one. But ultimately, you would only place a high court authority in a urban setting if it had been given said, sort of like powers of being the provincial capital. You then get Gauteng, which has Johannesburg, which is the smallest in size. The same also for the one with Pretoria, the northern Transvaal, which is also the smallest in size. Those two provinces are technically the two smallest provinces, but each one have their own economic hub, as well as also their administrative authority. Gauteng has got Johannesburg. Northern Transvaal has Pretoria, which also operates under an indigenous name. I keep forgetting that name as well, of Pretoria. But it's also where the presidential palace is based in Pretoria. Mpumalanga has got what's that town's name that I keep forgetting? Nelspruit. They've got Nelspruit. Northwest has got Potchefstroom. And so it goes on. But it's to give you how the decentralization element looks like. Oh yeah, Free State has got Bloemfontein. But that each one of these have their own economic hubs. Each one of these. Potchefstroom, guys, I've been in Potchefstroom. Potchefstroom is a blend between Windhoek. It's not as big as Windhoek, but it's not as small as, let's say, who can we pick that comes close to Windhoek in size? I'd boldly say it would be a mix between Ongwediva and Oshakati. Put together. I'd boldly say it. None of you have been there. You would understand the size of Potchefstroom. But Potchefstroom is the capital, the administrative capital of the Northwest Province for South Africa. So when you look at that layout, that perfect layout, each one of them obviously have their own provincial agendas, that development agendas that feeds into the national agenda for South Africa. And ultimately that translates to, how economic policies are, enacted, enforced or reinforced and also practiced in the rest of the province. Now, for Namibia, it poses a bit of an issue. And I'll stress this. I have to stress this because Windhoek is the only one growing. It doesn't take, you don't need to be a town planner even to realize Windhoek is the only one growing exponentially. Windhoek is the only one. Second only followed by the coast, the Irongo region. Second only followed up by the coast. Now, it once again bears reference to a discussion, although it was informal, although it was based in 2016, when I met this lecturer there in in Rundu. And it was based around a braai setting where the man said, because he was a lecturer there at the UNAM campus there in Rundu. And he said, I mean, if you are a town planner or you're a student coming from these far-flung areas of Namibia to study here in Windhoek, you're going to be exposed to the very nice life that Windhoek has to offer. Windhoek is also the only economic setting or the only urban area in the country that provides the most economic opportunities across the board. That is the truth. We have to stress this truth. It is the truth. If you have to ask anyone living in Okahania, does Okahania offer you an economic opportunity? A lot of people will say no. A lot of people will say no. If you go to Otjiwarongo, a lot of people also give you the same response there. You go to Gubabes, the same there as well. If we go to the south, where the distances between the towns even become greater, they will also give you the same responses. Now, I'm factoring this in because we are talking about here in the capital about the fourth industrial revolution. I attended, as you guys might have heard yesterday, a online gender-based violence report launch here in the capital as well. I attended that yesterday where one of the main advisors to the fourth industrial revolution task force said established by the presidency, by the president himself, that being Madam Anicia Peters or Professor Anicia Peters from UNAM, where she herself also pointed, you know, times are exciting, times are looking good going ahead for the 4IR placement. But when you look at something at like the country.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Now, coming back from our extended break, and that was just for me, to get a little bit of a breather because I'm getting a little bit excited. We've got to understand, guys, for the country, it looks very imbalanced for our country. It does look very imbalanced because the OECD them will have anticipations, expectations. Already our president has noted that people are listening to presentations where Namibia is invited to, like for example at Davos. Ultimately, our finance minister also noted that there are people with serious money in this, and I mean serious money in this world, people. I mean serious money. And I think he also saw the serious money that is being represented at platforms like Davos. Now, it's a question of where we find ourselves. Situations like in South Africa provides the resilience factor that I mentioned in the George Monbiot discussion. The video that I watched, that I spoke about on Tuesday night. No, where are we? Monday night. Sorry, Monday night. I spoke about on Monday night session, where Monbiot said if you established a system that is not strong in terms of where all the strength is centered in one point or in major points in the system, but rather that the strength is distributed equally across the whole system so that each node has its own value, provides its own role, sticks to its role, and that none of them function in the same manner or similar manner as the node next to, in front, behind, left and right of them, then if there are any system shocks to take place, the whole system is protected. Now, this is based upon how ecologists look at ecosystems in the natural environment, because George Monbiot spoke about this with regards to how economists wanted to understand what were the main failings, what contributed to the failings and the almost global crash of the international financial system. Now, guys, in terms of our urbanization approach, we do see, it does look like we have a problem. It does. It does look like we've got a problem. I mean, even the acting CEO of the city of Windhoek at the end of last year, George Mayombelo, also noted that as the urban area that contributes the most to the line ministry that they fall under, that line ministry is represented by Minister Utoni Erastus Utoni, that they want to have a bigger say in, you know, what their developmental approach for the city needs to go ahead. Now, obviously, you will start hearing such voices from the guys that contribute the largest in terms of revenue collection or tax collection or tariff collection, whatever you want to call it, in terms of the overall budget scenario for all the urban areas across the country. Now, no other urban area or urban setting can have a bigger voice than Windhoek. No one, not even Walvis Bay, can have a bigger voice than Windhoek. Guys, just look at how all the truck transport, the economy, based upon the transportation sector, has to move through this capital. It has to move through it. Windhoek is one of the few cities in the world, or capital cities, that is technically smack bang, literally smack bang in the middle of the country. Go look at a map of our country. Windhoek is in the middle, in any direction that you pull. You can perfectly draw across. All the roads lead to Windhoek. All the roads lead out of Windhoek. All the railway traffic lead into Windhoek and all the railway traffic lead out of Windhoek. You cannot bypass Windhoek. Windhoek boasts the international airport. Now, if that international airport was developed, you guys remember back the $7 billion quote or tender discussion? If that had gone through and Windhoek got that airport for that money, we would have had so much traffic, so many kinds of aircraft landing at this airport. We would technically be sitting with a tourist to native ratio of at least 2 to 1, meaning every 3 people that you see on the street, every third person would be a tourist. Now, having all the transport infrastructure running through one region points towards a monopolization in one sense. It does point to a monopolization. I'm not saying it's bad for the Comas region to have it, but it is also not a healthy picture going ahead. Look at the layout of South Africa. Now, if you allow certain economic functions to sustain certain urban areas throughout the country, for example, since Gobabis is known as cattle country, or is in smack bang in the Catholic, in cattle country, meaning a province which is perceived to have one of the highest, livestock economies in the country. Why not have some certain specific investments taking place there? If you had to look at, for example, like something like Oshakati even, which is technically enjoys a very solid administrative function. Ne? A very solid administrative function. And if you guys ever noticed and ever wondered why Oshakati is, boasts a sort of like a structured layout in terms of how the town itself, the municipality, is laid out. I'm not talking about where the municipality, the admin building is. No. Look at the municipality of Oshakati. Its layout. Although it has got its apartheid layout that is there in full view and full observation for all Namibians. But you can navigate properly through Oshakati. And ultimately, from 1990, it's only up to the current municipality to take said layout practice ahead. You know, the urbanization, the expansion of the boundaries of the urban area. To take it ahead. To take it forward. I mean, Oshakati has, I think they've got a high court. Yeah, they've got a high court even there. So, you can see that the rule of law, or that the three arms of the state functions, that being legislative, the one of the three arms of the state, that being the legislative, they themselves also have their decent representation. So that means everything else in terms of maintaining law and order is resided within one of the urban settings or one of the urban areas, which points towards, well, it has been well placed there and it does allow for expansion going ahead in terms of that urban area. And that's just for Oshakati. Now, Rundu also has the similar potential to what Oshakati can have. I've never been to Korejas. It's the only region I've not gone to. I've never been in even the Kunene region. Korejas is deemed the... No, not Korejas. Is it Korejas? Yeah, it is Korejas. I think they are deemed the administrative capital for the Kunene region. I speak under correction. But I've not known that it's Opuo, because Opuo is technically on the border between, of the Kunene and the closest, the region just next to the Kunene region. It's on the border. Opuo is just there. So ultimately, it wouldn't be safe to say, Opuo can be considered to be the administrative capital. But Opuo has got a lot of services and functions there from the state also positioned there. But that's beside the point. The point there is that Kunene, if you look at Kunene, the Kunene region, you can forget about thinking about an urbanization discussion there. You can literally forget about it. Now, I gave you a very good example of what Oshakati looks like, just from the face, observations, meaning it has got room to expand, room to grow, room to attract its own economic and developmental agenda that will be factoring into this OECD discussion. Because ultimately, what's just on the other end? If you continuously head north and you hit the border, you've got Angola on the other end. And I am referring back to that one discussion I had here on air with Kanjengo, where Kanjengo noted, there is so much economic traffic happening between the north and Angola. The potential is there to tap into said economic activity. The potential is there. I mean, guys, why must an Angolan national who wants to live in Namibia have to bypass 10 large towns to come live in Windhoek. If the potential can be provided for them right there in Oshakati, or right there in Ondangwa, or right there in Ongwediva, or even in Rundu, or Otapi could even be a potential said scenario for urbanization, because urbanization also means tourists coming to areas, properties being bought, properties being sold. It has to do with all that as well, the expansion element as well, various other economic developments taking place. Because I would also ask the question, if we have to look at developing Namibia forward, why don't we have a university in Kietmans, a university in Oshakati? I'm talking about a university, not a branch out of NAST or a branch of UNAM. No, not a branch. A fully functioning, independent university. And I don't mean independent that is not subsidized by the state, but it's a totally different entity. So the entity that provides its own function. And I'll once again fall on squarely on the shoulders of a town like Tsumeb. Guys, Tsumeb is beautiful. Tsumeb is beautiful. Tsumeb is beautiful. Tsumeb has, just on the face of its aesthetics, it can provide promises better than any politician can. Because just on the face of how beautiful it is, it can tell you, listen, come and invest in this town of Tsumeb. Tsumeb can provide you with XYZ. There's water, there's tourism activities, there's economic activity happening here. Tsumeb itself. Even Grootfontein. Grootfontein.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from our short break, and I technically forgot that we were basically going to end slightly now, but stealing a couple of minutes before the matriarch steps in, and this is just our conclusionary remark for tonight's edition, because I told you, this discussion about the urbanization aspect for the continent, for Africa, for Namibia even, it's not done. It's not done. Now, we're going to be continuing this for tomorrow evening, but my conclusionary remark just for tonight is the potential that each town, each region in this country provides, and I am steering far away from the green hydrogen energy discussion even, which is earmarked for the Karas region. Just head far away from that. Just stay away from it. Because working with a hypothetical discussion point. Here in Eagle FM itself, we in the regional and local authority elections of 2020, we had many discussions with various councillors coming from all those rural areas. And most of them were looking at reviving local economy scenarios. And local economy scenarios were pointing towards them trying to enact, them trying to revive some form of an economy for each one of those various urban areas, various urban settings. Now, on that same note, guys, it then points towards at least a question or some sort of review should be done, you know, looking at what was promised then for each one of those local authorities. Not to earmark how far we got, but is this the path? Is this the way? Is this the way to tap into this urbanization discussion, because that is the important thing. Urbanization is the way ahead. Urbanization does provide opportunities for people. Opportunities for people are not in the agricultural sector now, guys. It's not going to be there in the future. Only either the guys that are the land barons, the guys still sitting with the massive tracts of land and properties in the country, they'll be the only ones dictating and having a say in the agricultural sector. The urban settings will be the expansion rooms, will be the rooms for expansion. They will be the rooms or the new frontiers for opportunities economically, socially, politically, geographically even, for everyone. Now on that note, let's see each other again, same time, same place, here on your number one talk radio station. This has been your Business and Economic Zone here for this Wednesday session of the 8th of June. Let's see each other again tomorrow. Stay tuned as the matriarch is about to make an entrance. I'm avoiding her. Not going to be talking to her as we exit. But on that note, stay tuned for the rest of your programming to continue here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.